Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at 97.5 FM WFHR. Have your host, James, here, joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being here, everybody. We appreciate the company. We're going to have some fun this morning. We'll get into some entertainment news in a little bit. We've got a news break coming up for you. We'll get into our schedule and some great local events in our area. We kick off the 10 o'clock hour with our friends Craig and Rich from St. Philip's Church here in Rudolph. We're going to talk about their 104th picnic coming up. These guys join us every year. It's always good to see you all. Thanks so much for being here. Melissa, just so you know, they do have the headphones on so they can hear you and interact with you. Guys, how's it going? Good to have you back. How's it been?
Real good. We really enjoy coming here every year. We had a little controversy on scheduling, but
yeah.
I dropped everything just to see James.
Appreciate that.
And put the word out.
Rick has a very busy schedule, so we were glad we could get him.
When I saw that we locked Rick down, I'm like, wow, we got to get there. That's a big one right there. I wanted to make sure Melissa was able to join us for the interview. It's a big interview.
It's going to happen. Yeah.
Rick, also for the audience out there, Rick also has an amazing shirt on. A fantastic. I love that shirt, man. He's a Callahan Sandusky Tommy Boy shirt. It's fantastic.
Would you buy my brake pads?
Absolutely. Only from you. Only Callahan. That's the only brake pads I'll buy. Guys, I appreciate you being here. I want to dive into this one. Before we get too far into the event, the details, where people can attend and everything, what's it feel like when you look at that, you're planning this out, and you see 104th? Oh. I mean, what does that feel like to be able to be a part of something like that?
I've been a part of it for years and years. You've been a part of it all your life.
But you a lot longer than me.
I was waiting for it. I was waiting for one of you.
I knew that was coming. Yeah. But, no, it's just, it's the excitement of seeing old friends that come to the grotto just to come and look at the grotto. And the color right now is just fascinating with all the flowers and stuff like that. And, of course, the hamburgers and beverage tent or stand is one of the better ones.
Oh yeah, the hamburgers are fantastic.
Who makes the hamburgers?
They are fantastic.
This event is world famous at the Grotto Shrine in Wonder Cave. That's where people can check this out. It'll be going on Sunday, August 3rd. There will be mass at 10 in the church, and all activities will be on the ground, so you don't have to go bopping around too far. It'll be all right there in one location for you, which is always a nice idea. When it comes to how the event has changed over the years, I just want to touch on that just a little bit with you guys, because it's certainly, it's always been well attended, always had a great job by the people preparing this and everything, but I don't know that it's always had the some of the artists or some of the kind of pomp and circumstance that's come with it over the years.
Mm-hmm. The picnic hasn't changed much in all respects. The chicken dinner, they quit doing the chicken dinner back in COVID time, and trying to find help is a hard thing. But the grounds, the games are the same. The bingo for cash prize or for real prizes.
Real prizes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're not. You can go out and pick something out. You know, it's a very nice setup. And just to be outside, and we're supposed to have beautiful weather.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah. Really nice weather coming up over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and like Richard said, since 2020, the chicken dinner is not part of the event, but I feel like we've maybe picked things up a little bit out on the grounds.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
With the refreshments and burgers, french fries, ice cream. I think we've got brats typically. There's music always playing and a lot of stuff. The kids prize or the kids games are always a big hit for families. I think it's kind of a throwback.
Yeah.
To come out with your kids and play some of these small games and get some really nice prizes.
Mm-hmm. Going to the food for a second, I'm pretty sure you you guys couldn't have this event if you weren't serving brats. I'm pretty sure in Wisconsin. It's somewhere in the bylaws.
Yeah,
I don't remember where
there's a law. You have to get a license for it.
Yeah, you've got to definitely have those. But you have all the summer hits there with the food, so something for everybody. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you brought up the kids' games, too. Melissa and I are really lucky in this position we're in. We get to talk to a lot of people about a lot of events that go on in the summer. I don't know that we could have enough picnics. I don't know that we could have enough events where the whole family can be there. You can run into people. The what you were talking about, Rich, and the fellowship, and just running into people you maybe only see at this event, or you know, you see them seldom, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Those kind of things only happen more and more with these events. I don't think we can have enough of them.
That's really true, because I think, you know, for us, it's our picnic, but boy, there's a lot of people that come out, people you don't typically see throughout the year, and it's a nice opportunity to catch up with people and possibly have a malt beverage and enjoy the weather and everything that we've got going on. So
such a long history of doing this picnic. It's got to be an institution.
Yeah, 104 years. Yeah, it's a lot longer than we've been around.
Yeah. It's nice to have something older than you.
Well, that's
There are one thing in doing this job I've learned, you know, if you're going to have an event, if you're going to put on something, you definitely want to serve. If you're going to serve food, you want to have brats, and you have to have a raffle. We love raffles around here, and you guys got a nice basket raffle drawing, and that's going to be going on as well, or a basket drawing that's going to
The basket raffle is always a big hit. You can put your name in for a basket with car wash supplies, or you can put one in for, they may have laundry detergent and stuff like that. And they're always very nice baskets. Lynette Hart just puts all that together and does a fabulous job with that. And the raffle that we have, we give over $5,000 back.
I had to double check that. That's incredible. Yeah. That's really something right there.
And I'll have to say, in the 104 years that I haven't been here, but a good part of it, I've never won.
Oh, really?
And I buy faithfully every year. Yeah.
I got a feeling this is your year.
Yeah, it might be your year.
It's going to be my year. I'm going to look at that. All right.
And all this is fantastic. You got, everybody's done such a great job putting this together, but we also wanted to mention the polka pack. That is going to be going from 11 to 3. What is that exactly, for those that don't know, Craig?
Polka pack it's polka music. I don't know if I necessarily
good old
know.
Time polka music.
That's what I thought.
I don't know the people personally or anything like that.
But it is a band. It is or some musicians.
Correct. I think, you know, historically our picnic has always had polka music.
Yeah.
You know, it fits with our community and I think our culture around here.
It's the soundtrack of summer around here. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gotta have a squeeze box.
That's right. So that's a lot of fun.
But the polka pack, I wonder, are they dressed in green and gold?
You got to check. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's great. We got to find out. If they're not, they might have a new gimmick. They might have a new, you might just help them out with something.
Have them on to something,
And after that, you got another great act coming up. One that I know I've heard from plenty of people that they're very excited about.
Mm-hmm. From 3 to 6, then, you know, we have an Elvis tribute that Dakota Pongratz is an Elvis impersonator that I've personally seen many times, and if you have never seen him, it's a really good show. He does a fantastic job.
He's actually doing the Scandinavian Fest before he comes to us.
Wow.
for three or four hours.
Yeah,
then he's coming to us. Then I think he has something on after us going, so he's busy all the time.
He's very sought after.
People definitely want to see him.
With all that going on, all that music, they're going to have a covered dance floor for you, so be sure to get on out there, get some exercise, get some dancing in, and enjoy. And certainly want to talk about how much times and details once more of this event. You guys, did we cover everything?
We did. You know, some of the other times, I guess we did talk about the basket raffle and the cash raffle drawings. The basket raffle drawings are going to be at 5 p.m. And then the cash raffle drawings will be at 5:30 and at 6 o'clock.
Announced.
Yeah, they're going to be announcing the winners there. So just from a timeline standpoint.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Good to know. And again, keep in mind the Mass will be at 10 a.m. in the church, and all the activities will be on the grounds afterwards this Sunday, August 3rd, for the 104th Church Picnic at St. Philip's in Rudolph. This is going to be right over at the world-famous Grotto Shrine and Wonder Cave. Check it out over there. A big shout-out to everybody that helps out with this event, everybody involved with it. We usually like to wrap up seeing that if you could use volunteers for this one or even the 105th next year, if people want to volunteer or help out, is there somebody they can reach out to, or just go ahead and maybe stop on by the event and maybe grab Craig and pull his ear or something.
Richard or Craig. You know, the other thing is you can always contact the church and leave a message, and someone will definitely get back to you if you're interested in participating
and become a member.
Appreciate that. So, appreciate all that. Please say hi to everybody for us, and we'll hopefully see you down there, guys. This is going to be a good event. Check out this Polka Pack too. I got to check that out.
Go pack, go.
Right on. Craig, Rich, thank you very much for the time. Appreciate you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Yep. Again, the St. Philip's 104th Church Picnic is going to be Sunday, August 3rd. Make plans to get on over there and check it out. Everybody, we'll be talking more about this in our Good Stories of the Day coming up. And we'll have more show coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR.
Hot town, summer in the city. Back of my neck getting dirty and gritty. Bend down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead, walking on the sidewalk harder than a match head.
Melissa and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, everybody. Hope you're having a great one out there. A big thank you to Craig and Rich for joining us from St. Philip's over there in Rudolph, talking about that 104th picnic.
Sounds like so much fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast over there in Rudolph. Be sure to make plans to get on over there this weekend, everybody, and check that out. It's going to be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Talking a little entertainment now, and Beyonce shows up in a couple of stories for us here. She celebrated her final Cowboy Carter show in Vegas Saturday night, making it a Destiny's Child reunion.
Oh, really? Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Kelly Rowland and Michelle Williams joined Beyonce for a melody of their hits that they went through. Also, Jay-Z and Shaboozy showed up. And on of course, with all of that going on and everything, it's also noteworthy. Well, first off, just a really cool idea to wrap up the show. What a big thing for the fans and everything. Yeah. I believe it was in Texas where Beyonce's from, so that had to hit home even more. It's kind of cool to see that, you know, for an artist. And along with that, wrapping things up, I don't know if she knew this beforehand or not, but Beyonce just keeps on smashing records. They actually say country records. I'm just going to say records, period. The Cowboy Carter tour just wrapped, and she now owns the record for the highest grossing country tour of all time.
Oh, wow.
Made $407 million over 32 shows. That's 1.6 million tickets sold. That is bigger than anybody, any country artist ever. Anybody wondering if her, doing some country music, how that would go. along with all the awards she's won and all the praise that she has gotten, and being, if she was not already a household name and a universal, like, crossover talent, she's done it again and shown it again, regardless of what anybody might think, has been able to do that. I find it very odd that the people that have an issue with Beyonce, a Texan, a girl born and raised in the South, going to most of her baby pictures are her in a cowboy hat. People having an issue with her going into country music, but yet a Post Malone or 90% of the artists, or Kid Rock or any of these artists,
Kelly Roll,
that were never in country music, but all of a sudden decided to go into it once country music got popular, and nobody has a problem with any of that. Like that, I mean, just come on.
In some ways, you kind of can't blame some people because that she never has presented a country image before now. So when you think of Beyonce, you don't immediately think country. Now she's changing that, and that's okay.
I understand and agree with that, but not having an issue with that, but not having an issue with a Post Malone, who is the exact same thing you just described.
Well, yeah, and I wasn't talking about like people who are being vocal about it, because I just mean generally, because honestly, I had to look it up to see if it was just one song that Beyonce wrote that was country, but no, it's a whole album. It's a 27-song album.
And yeah, double album. Yeah, she really came all out with it and everything. And there's some great hits on there. There's some great songs on it.
And she is an undeniable talent, in my opinion.
She is now the first woman and first American artist ever to have two tours that have grossed $400
million. Wow.
Her first one, the Renaissance World Tour in 2023, did the other one. The previous record for largest country tour of all time was held by Zach Bryan, who made over $321 million with his. And just impressive numbers, regardless. I get a little, there's not much that gets under my skin, but music gatekeepers, people that try to say that this genre is this and this genre is that, or you don't belong in this music. It's music. What are you talking about, man? Nobody owns me. Nobody gets to say this is this genre, this is that genre, especially in this day and age where everything is mashed up. And by the way, every single artist that you're inspired by was inspired by a different genre.
Like, it's quite possible.
Yeah. Look at every single rock and roll star of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Most of them, they grew up listening to blues. Most of your favorite country artists grew up listening to blues, and when it comes to somebody like Beyonce, who, yes, made her bones in the R&B world, in the pop world, she grew up listening to country. She probably listened to more country than most of the people that grew up listening to country and everything. Like,
quite possibly.
It's the silliest argument in the world.
It is one of them. As you often like to point out, and it gets me every time you say it, James, it's the same seven notes.
Yeah, they're. I would like to spend more time marveling at that than debating is this artist
which genres which.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, now that being said, I am not at all talking about like what you personally like. If you don't like her music, that's cool.
That
no problem
so
there.
Fine.
I don't listen to a lot of Beyonce. I don't like, maybe two songs I listen to of Beyonce. I don't listen to much of her. I just don't like the idea of people trying to say that this is this or this is that. I mean. That part of it, but as far as personal taste, like what you like, man. Listen to what you listen to. That's different.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
And apparently she'll be fine either way. It doesn't matter. She's doing all right. She's gonna be okay. I wanted to wrap up just one of our main ending topics, I should say. The biographer who wrote the 2023 Ozzy Osbourne biography, Ozzy at 75, the unofficial illustrated history, has a few things to say to Sharon haters out there. Sharon Osbourne, over the years, throughout she's been there since the beginning with Ozzy. They've been together forever. And Sharon, especially back in the day, had this really bad image presented on her. I think in this day and age, a lot of that has grown and changed. Sharon came about at a time where if you were a woman and you stood up for something or fought people on things, you were considered and everybody knows the word, that kind of thing. Now we, I think, have kind of understood, oh, no, that's just a strong human being. It's not attitude. It's not a jerk. It's okay. That's somebody who's standing up for themselves or standing up for their artist because she's also his manager, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like it's always been ridiculous, any of that idea or anything. But this guy, Daniel, says he's aware that some heavy metal fans see her as an evil shrew and a puppet master and all these weird things. The truth of it is, she met him after he had been fired from Black Sabbath. He was borderline homeless. Due to her ability to corral him and direct him and that sort of thing, she made him one of the biggest stars in the world, or helped make him one of the biggest stars in the world. I believe she kept him alive the whole time.
Yeah, she saw his potential, and she loved and cared for him enough. This is, what I'm hearing from what you're saying, to do that for him and to help him and to be a partner.
Daniel clarified that it's no secret that Sharon has been known to be unpleasant at times, but, quote, I just think that the way she's being characterized is wrong. The fact that he made it to 76, I give her all the credit. She kept him going and put up with a lot of stuff you wouldn't put up with for a minute in your own marriage. But she took vows seriously and stood by him. If it was all just about business, she would have stopped a long time ago. So keeping in mind, at the time she meets Ozzy Osbourne, he is washed up. And anybody in the rock and roll industry believes that he is done, not only because of his addiction, but because of, you can't count on him. You don't even know if he'll show up for rehearsals, let alone to record an album and then to take it on tour or anything like that. He's not reliable. I used to do this joke all the time with Ozzy. Ozzy Osbourne got kicked out of Black Sabbath for doing too much drugs. Black Sabbath. Like, how much drugs was he doing to be kicked out of Black Sabbath, for God's sake? Like, I mean, that's, what are we talking about? That's insane. So that's where he is when he meets her. So this is not some gold digger. This is not somebody who came around and was there because, I got money bags right here or something. She fell in love with him. Mm-hmm. And madly, to the point where she stuck with him and put up with all this stuff, and not to, I'm sure she could be unpleasant at times too. But
Ozzy, all human.
Ozzy was essentially the English, full-born version of Homer Simpson, in a lot of ways. And she dealt with all of it. And if you are a fan of Ozzy, and like many of us are, there's one person to thank. With all of this, Ozzy deserves every little bit of credit we can give him. He certainly
does. Yeah, a lot
of
talent. Mm-hmm.
But we don't get any of that if she's not there to help him literally stand up and be able to do some of these things, and then eventually get sober and put out some great music. There's another thing that we forget about. Ozzy Osbourne had hits in five decades, wow. I believe. And in between that time, there were times where there were dips in his career. There were times where he was not a household name, where he was not well known or well received in that. And Sharon kept him afloat, kept him going and getting him sober and all those things. It's unquestionable to me, her impact, not just on Ozzy, but on music.
Mm-hmm. And I know very, very little about their story because obviously with the name Black Sabbath, I wasn't allowed to listen to that or pretty much anything connected to Ozzy Osbourne. But basically what you said at the beginning, Sharon had to do some things and take some stands that if a man had been doing the same thing would not get the same criticism as she did.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And why? Just because she's a woman, she should be criticized for it?
Yeah, I
have to question that.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's messed up. It doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't know. I'm not, again, saying that you got to like her or anything.
No,
but
you got to look at the whole package. You
exactly.
You got to look at the whole story. And now, like you said, after the fact, after things have, the dust has settled, you have time to look back over the whole, whole picture.
A little bit later today, we're going to be recording an edition of the Rapids Report a little bit after the morning show is done wrapping up here. I'm going to be joined by Stephanie. She is the director of the WRCT Youth Theater production, Brothers Grimm Spectaculathon.
Oh, it sounds fantastic.
Production dates August 2nd and 3rd. That's right around the corner, everybody. Be sure to get your tickets for that. You can get those tickets at wrctheater.org. I encourage you to do that and support these kids and take a listen to the interview a little bit later. Stephanie's a great interview, and we'll have a lot of fun with that. And as long as you're over at wrctheater.org, maybe check out the audition sheets. On Golden Pond.
I hear they have a special guest director.
Yeah. I'm going to be directing the opening fall show. Kick off the main stage season. No pressure.
I'm so excited for you, James. I'm really excited. You're going to have so much fun doing this because there's a great team at WRCT that backs up their directors. I speak from experience having done it last season. And it's just so fun. And you are so talented. And I can't wait to see your vision come alive on the stage. It's going to be so much fun.
Going into this, I really wanted to play into the bit that I haven't directed since high school. And I'm in over my head, and I don't know what I, you know, and I'm nervous or whatever. I am a nervous. There is nerves involved, certainly, but I am so jacked for this. I am really excited, and in part because I, you know, a little bit like as a skinny kid growing up, Melissa, I knew, you know, that if I had my buddy Johnson, who was just like 7'20" behind me, I had a little more attitude to me. I've got a team behind me that I can't fail. I have got some amazing people that I'm going to be working with between Bethany and of course, Gretchen. And I've already got some great people sending in audition sheets. Just incredible. And all of this for an incredible show. On Golden Pond is one of our benchmark shows. It is one of those shows in theater that for a long time has meant something. And it's really had two great incarnations with the original and certainly the movie that the Fonda's made very popular and everything, but of course the stage production on Broadway that James Earl Jones did, and that production of it, it's going to be great.
It's got a classic, and it's a tearjerker too, right?
Yeah, it's got all the emotions. It's got your dark sarcasm, sense of humors, along with and I think it's one of the better stories to ever approach the subject of dementia, of Alzheimer's, of you know, getting older and what that's like for all different ranges. It's got three men, two women, one early teen boy that I am looking at as can be played by just about anybody in that age range, so certainly open to anybody coming in and auditioning for that. The auditions will be August 4th and 5th, a week earlier than I thought.
Surprise!
Yeah, I found that out yesterday. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. 6 to 8 over at the beautiful WRCT Auditorium. And again, if you'd like to fill out an audition sheet early, encourage you to do that. Get that out of the way. You can do it over at WRCTheater.org.
Next week.
Yep.
Next week, James.
I just keep reminding myself of that, yeah. WRCTheater.org is where you can go to get those audition sheets filled out, get your tickets for the Brothers Grimm, or any of the main stage shows coming up. Got a great main stage season ahead, everybody. Help us celebrate another great season over at WRC Theater. We're going to have some fun with that one.
Absolutely.
And but as we're going into a news break, Melissa, I just wanted to remind everybody that a new newsletter is going to be premiering this Thursday at noon. You can count on that showing up in your email box.
Yep. If you sign up at WFHR.com, just give us your email address and we will send you our newsletter.
Get on over there, sign up, and get some of this great reporting being done by our team here. And appreciate Melissa and all the work she's putting into that.
I appreciate my team. You guys are amazing.
We'll take a quick time out. We'll take a listen to Melissa's news, some sports from Mike, entertainment from Pete, and our partners. We'll be back with more show coming up, The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at 97.5 FM, WFHR.
On the first part of the journey, I was looking at all the life.
We hope you're having a great one out there, everybody. Thanks so much for joining Melissa and I. Going to get into some fun stuff, our schedule, some good stories of the day in a little bit, all that coming up. But a new poll asked, which country has the most overrated food culture? That's kind of interesting, an interesting topic to me. Not saying the food is bad, just maybe a bit too hyped up.
Right. And that's the right way to put it.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting way to look at things. I really wouldn't have thought of it that way, but it's a good kind of a fun question, I think. So looking at the survey, the answer is France. 30% of people said French food or French cuisine is overrated.
I find that funny. I find it funny.
I kind of do too. And I gotta admit, I wonder how much of that is just because we know that that is going to, you know, rile the French. Like that is just poking the bear a little bit.
There's elements of that. But what when you say French cuisine, James, what do you think of?
Yeah, crepes or
I think of the line from the song from Beauty and the Beast. Try the gray stuff. It's delicious. Don't believe me? Ask the dishes.
Yeah, that's a good line. That's a good line.
But what is French cuisine? I mean, there's obviously pasta. They have pizza. I mean, it's kind of a mashup of other cultures and, I mean, their own. Obviously, they have their own cuisine. But what dishes are they known for?
Just
French
a
toast? No.
Just right. Just
French fries.
French fries. Yeah, that's where I was going to say French fries all the way, and I thought it was too easy.
And
but
I don't mean to say any of that in anything derogatory toward France or French cuisine, because I have huge appreciation for all cuisines.
French cuisine is described as high quality ingredients, sophisticated techniques, and elegant presentation. It's renowned for its rich flavors, sauces, and careful pairing of food with wine or drink, and cheeses and such. French cuisine also places a high value on the dining experience and the whole social aspect of sharing meals.
Couldn't be any further away from what American dining
right,
is.
Right, yeah. Ratatouille is probably one of the more famous meals, but there's French onion soup, there is croissants.
And of course, a beef bouillon, is that how you say it?
Yes,
bouillon.
Nicely done,
it's a rich beef stew, red wine, and really good.
I think a lot of baked goods before I think of the French meals.
Yeah, creme brulee.
I think that for, you know, when we think of cultures, and I think when you think of French cultures and you're trying, and coming up with any other culture, and you're trying to come up with three things, the magic three, and you're, okay, well, there's this, and then you're going to throw food in there. But what you reference for food, you know, that's a great question, Melissa. I wouldn't have thought of that. I would have said, yes, French has great food. France has great food, but I wouldn't have been able to nail anything down after that. Ah.
Ratatouille is probably the biggest, but it's only been made that big because of the movie.
Yeah. One thing I do want to say, and part of this comes from watching, I've been binging a bunch of, I love Anthony Bourdain, and every once in a while I go back and watch old episodes of his stuff. And when he's traveling around, so many of the places he goes to, it doesn't matter, you know, where he is in the world, they put so much more emphasis on the experience of eating. It's not just sitting down, fill up your tank, and then get going. It's so much about, well, sit back, or, you know, a lot of meals, you know, before you even have the meal, you got to go take a spa or relax a little bit and stuff. And then that'll help you enjoy the meal and the time that they put into that, or sharing food with friends and family and having people just stopping by and grabbing a little bit of this or something.
It's all about the experience. And the other thing I want to say about French food, too, is that I think that there's so much from the French cuisine that has inspired so many other cultures.
Yeah,
because
that's
so
true.
Many of their foods, if you really look at them, they're like, oh, well, I've had that, not to the French level, but it's it's inspired other dishes that we have in our regular cuisine here in the U.S.
That's very true. It's just, you know,
you just can't pronounce the French names for the food.
No, I didn't even want to try. I love this country. I love being an American. I wouldn't want to live or be anywhere else. But I do think that when you love something, you're honest about it. And I think if there's one thing that we have awesome food, we make good food here. I don't know that we've treated the eating process right. I feel like we've made it way more focus on working and working for the food than sitting down and enjoying each other's company and enjoying the food and really just taking a moment. My nan and papa used to make fun of me and call me a vacuum, because we'd sit down and eat and my food was gone. It's gone. I just ate it like within seconds. I feel like that's kind of what we do as Americans. It's just about, we care about what we're eating, sure. And many of us out there care about our diets and some of those things. I'm not talking about that. I mean experiencing life. And one of the greatest ways to bond with each other or bond with strangers is over food.
Mm-hmm. And it's very possible that other cultures have a better handle on that than we do, just because they have a longer history
than
America does. So, like, take Spain, for instance. I really think we need siestas.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely. That is such a fabulous idea, and I think we should do it.
Couldn't agree more. Next on the list is America at 21%, saying that our cuisine is overrated. Now, what is considered American cuisine? It's a diverse and eccentric mix of dishes with influences from around the world, shaped by the country's history and culinary melting pot. It emphasizes both dishes invented in the U.S. and those adapted from other cuisines around the world.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But James, we forgot to mention the most famous French food.
Mm.
escargot.
Oh, yeah, we didn't mention escargot. Yeah, that's right.
We, how could we not mention snails?
That was a miss on our part, yeah.
Huge.
Clam chowder, biscuits and gravy, fried chicken, hot dogs, gumbo. All these are considered American foods. Jambalaya, mac and cheese, hush puppies.
Okay, most of that is Southern cuisine you've mentioned now.
Yeah. Meatloaf, corn dogs.
Okay.
Coleslaw, key lime pie, hamburgers.
Apple pie?
Key lime and apple pie.
Okay.
Buffalo wings. All American creations, all considered American foods. Crab cakes, another one.
Oh, okay.
So, but these foods are considered, they're not, it's not, again, that they're not bad, it's just that they are overhyped.
Yeah. Well, and some of those, if they're done, like, yeah, those are, a lot of those are everyday foods that we eat.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've ever had really, really, like, meticulously created and crafted recipe came down through the generations of a family, fried chicken.
Yeah. There's a difference.
That's a culinary experience.
I'll even take a homemade chicken noodle soup. Like, you know, that.
Yeah.
I would put that in a contest. Mm-hmm. Like, that, even that could, I think, win some awards.
Or barbecued ribs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That are tender and fall off the bone. I mean, you're not going to find that everywhere.
One of the best reasons to get messy is ribs. Yes. Yeah.
and the only food you'll do that for, right, James?
Mm-hmm. Yep. 15% said the UK. That is wild to me, considering the only time my whole life I've ever heard anything about English cuisine or United Kingdom food is, you know, it's eels and it's bad and all that.
Black pudding.
Yeah, yeah. That's all we hear is horror stories over here about it. But
And I think it's just, I don't know, historically we just like to make fun of their food, I guess.
I think so, yeah. 14%.
It's lack of spices.
Yeah, yeah. 14% said Japanese food is overhyped. Okay.
I disagree. I think Japanese food is amazing.
I was going to say, I don't think I've ever met somebody that... I literally don't think I've ever met somebody that doesn't like sushi or some type of Asian cuisine, especially Japanese food.
I just think that they maybe haven't had good...
Yeah, yeah.
...examples of it yet.
And another 14% said Italy. How dare you? What? How dare you? No. I could see that. I could see that. Even myself, I had this happen. I toted that I can make spaghetti, and I made spaghetti for a girl once, and I hyped it up and everything, and I made it, and she said it was okay. I worked really hard on it. But it was my fault, too, I think. It wasn't that it wasn't good spaghetti. It just wasn't anything to write home about.
When you overhype something, that kind of takes the...
Yeah.
I don't know, the enjoyment out of it in a way. That's always been the way for me, especially with total different topic, but like Broadway shows.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or any kind of like performance. If somebody tells me it is the most amazing thing, and this was me in high school, everybody was crazy about it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, it was okay.
The same. I'm so the same.
I don't know why.
I'm really bad about this with movies. I really don't like movies being overhyped, because then my bar goes up and up and up, and it's very difficult for anything to really hit that bar. Mm-hmm. So I'm with you on that one. And I think that that's a good, it is a good analogy with food, because we do it with food a lot. I probably do it more with food than we do with movies or entertainment or anything.
Probably. And I think the struggle is that people have just, you know, different likes and dislikes. So what I think is amazing, you're probably going to spit out in the sink.
7% said Mexico. As far as wrapping up overrated foods. That's
tacos
ridiculous to
are
me.
How, amazing. How dare you insult tacos?
We'll eat it if you won't. Those were the only options, so they didn't ask about Chinese, Korean, Indian, Spanish, German, Ethiopian, or basically every other culture that has their own
food. Vietnamese.
I mean, there's a billion foods out there.
Billion cultures with fabulous foods.
When it comes to underrated foods, I don't know that I'd put any of these on the list as far as underrated, but I will say Mongolian, like the little bit of like that food that I've had, I really liked it.
Yeah, I got to eat at a Mongolian restaurant in Madison in the recent memory, let's say the last 3 years. It was good, though.
I love that stuff. Yeah, it was really good stuff. I like all that.
Any cultures for me that don't rely heavily on cheese, I'm all for.
Yeah, I imagine, yeah.
And it's not because I don't like it. Don't get me wrong. I love cheese. It just doesn't love me.
Yeah, there's a big difference. Mm-hmm. We will take a time out. We'll come back. We got some good stories of the day. We got some local events we'll touch on and our schedule all coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here to wrap up the show, take you to the top of the hour, get you ready for a great day of civic media broadcasting. Mm-hmm. We've got some good stuff lined up for you today. Be sure to join us at WFHR.com. Not only sign up for the newsletter that'll be premiering, a new edition will be premiering this Thursday at noon in your email box, but you can catch out the Rapids Report.
Yeah.
You go on over there, everybody, and you pull up the website, and after you signed up for the newsletter, and you scroll down just a little bit, and you will see our shows. You will see our shows all lined up for you over there. Be sure to...
everything is podcasted, and you can go back and listen if you miss something.
Yeah. Head on over there. Check that out. I encourage you to. Especially if you go to the on-air section, you should be able to find it. We've had some people having a little bit of trouble finding our shows in our archives. Just want to go ahead and lay it out for you guys a little bit.
Yeah, but we love to hear that feedback because that's how we can make our product better for you.
Yeah. Head on over there. Check that out, everyone. And thank you so much to everybody who signed up for the newsletter and made the website as popular as it is. We appreciate you guys. Also, be sure to be there for a new edition of the Rapid Support today, where we got Stephanie Harth joining us from WRCT Youth Theater's Brothers Grimm Spectaculathon.
It sounds like a hilarious show. I have no idea what it's about, but I can't wait.
Yeah, and they got a good director. They're going to have a fun time with that one. Listen in today for that. Also, Rafter Baseball back tonight at the station here. 5:50, our pregame will kick off. Rafters in Madtown to take on the Mallards. Be sure to catch that.
All right, Parker, it's on.
Yeah, I was
my
just going to say,
going to win this time.
We've got some a little bit of a rivalry going on with our Madison offices and everything. I love this. It's fun.
Parker Olson is the producer for Pat Kreitler's show, and I'm going to rib him if we win.
Yeah. So be listening for that a little bit later. Again, a big shout out to Craig and Rich from St. Philip's Church and Rudolph for joining us. Keep in mind, everybody, that the St. Philip's 104th Church Picnic is going to be taking place at the world famous Grotto Shrine and Wonder Cave this Sunday, August 3rd. Mm-hmm. Mass at 10. All activities will follow. Going to have a great time down there. Be sure to get those raffle tickets, play some bingo, and have some fun dancing on that floor.
Sounds fabulous.
That's going to be a good time.
Polka.
Enjoy, everybody. And as long as we're talking music, our Wisconsin Rapid City Band has only a couple more shows left of the season. Man, it's wrapping up.
Man, that's going to be quick.
Two more shows, one of them tonight at 7:30 over at beautiful Robinson Park. Go check that out. Have some fun and enjoy and take this band in. And a big congratulations to them on another great season.
Yeah.
I wanted to remind everybody that there are free meals available for kids. Free meals are available to all children 18 years of age and under. Meals are served Monday through Friday over at Lincoln High School. You can go there. Meals are served until August 15th. Breakfast is served 7:30 to 8:30, lunch 11 to 12:30.
Nice. I'm really glad they do that.
Mead Park near the splash pad on 14th Avenue, they do this from 11 to 12:30. They serve lunch. Mm-hmm. And they also give breakfast for the next day. That'll be provided. And same thing over at Witter Park, the shelter outside of the Aquatic Center. They do that from 11 to 12:30.
Nice.
Spread the word about this. And if you have questions, you can email them, schoolnutrition@wrps.net, schoolnutrition@wrps.net. A gigantic thank you to everybody that's a part of that. We appreciate you.
Yes. Thank you.
Appreciate our friend Tom, who joins us every month with the monthly veterans update. Tom reminded me that the Buckley Baldwin VFW Post 2534 pancake breakfast is coming up this Saturday.
Yeah. Your meals are totally covered for Sunday.
Yeah.
This weekend.
Yeah. You're going to eat good this weekend, everybody. They're serving from 7 to 10. It's open to the public. $10 for adults. $7 for 13 and under. Buttermilk pancakes, sausage links, juice, milk, coffee, camaraderie. It's going to be a good time. Meet them over at Emmanuel Lutheran Church Fellowship Hall at 1517 24th Street North, or South, I should say. Head on over there and meet them there this Saturday from 7 to 10 for the great pancake
breakfast.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, right. I could do some pancakes right now.
And also going on this weekend, the second annual Roscoe's Rumble Cornhole Tournament.
Woohoo!
Our Rafters hosting this one. This is going to be a really fun event. They had a great time with this one last year. Going to be another good one this year. Join them for the Colin Hole Tournament. Registration is at 3. Bags fly at 4. It's a fun time. You can find out more and get your tickets for Rafters Baseball at northwoodsleague.com.
Mm-hmm.
And one more event I wanted to touch on that our friends over at the ODC are going to be celebrating in celebration of Milk's 25th anniversary. Join them in celebrating disability, identity, and culture at the MILC's first ever Disability Pride Festival.
Ooh.
It's going on August 2nd, 10 to 4 over in Plover at Lake Packawa Park. They'll have adaptive kayaking, entertainment, food, disability shops, and all kinds of fun stuff.
Wow.
You can find out more at odc.org. Odcinc.org. Be sure to head on over to their website and find out more about Disability Pride Festival. It's going to be a good event.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to be talking more tomorrow and throughout the rest of the week about some great events we're going to be at August. And, of course, our party that we're going to be hosting here.
Oh, August is going to be a busy month, James. You ready?
We really, yeah. I'm going to get ready because we got a lot of great stuff coming up. I wanted to send real quickly our good story of the day, a shout out to our Wisconsin Rapid City the Works Department and everybody involved in the city. And, of course, our friend Joe sent over an email today, a newsletter. They got a new website premiering tomorrow.
It's awesome. It's going to launch at noon tomorrow. I can't wait to see it.
That's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to check that out. Congrats to everybody that worked on that. And great show today, Melissa.
You too, James.
Be good to each other out there.
This is Locally Grown Radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.